For distributing transcendental knowledge, as in Bhagavad Gita. Grihita Deham has assumed a form like a material body. Namah Mahe. I offer my respectful obeisances. Twam, unto you. Purusham, the Supreme Person. Pranam, the original. Translation, purport, Srila Prabhupada. O completely peaceful Lord, although material nature, fruit of activities, and the consequent material names and forms are your creation, you are unaffected by them. Therefore, your transcendental name is different from material names, and your form is different from material forms. You assume a form resembling a material body just to give us instructions like those of Bhagavad Gita, but actually you are the supreme original person. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Srila Jamunacharya has recited this verse in the Stotra Ratna, Bhavantam Avan Nucharam Nirantara Prashanta Niheshesha Manoratantara Kadaham Aikantika Nityakinkara Praharshayami Sanat Jivitam. By serving you constantly, one is free from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a fitting master? Mano retinasita bhavato bahi, one who acts on the mental platform must descend to material activities. Material contamination, however, is completely absent from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pure devotee. Therefore, the Lord is addressed as Prashanta, completely peaceful, free from the disturbances of material existence. The Supreme Lord has no material name or form. Only the foolish think that the Lord's name and form are material. Avijnanti mamudha manusam matanam ashritam. The identity of the Supreme Lord is that he is the original person. Nonetheless, those who have but a poor fund of knowledge think that the Lord is formless. The Lord is formless in the material sense, but he has his transcendental form, such an ananda vigraha. So Amshuman, soon to become King Amshuman, is continuing his prayers to the Lord, and here he's glorifying the Lord's transcendental nature, 100% transcendental. He is definitely the creator of every single thing that we see in this room, outside this room, and in the universe. But with, when he decides to come here within these universes or this material world, he is not affected whatsoever. He can come in his any form he wants and not be subject to all the things that we are, such as the modes of material nature, of which we're affected every day by one, two, three, a mixture of them. But the testimony of this was when he was on the planet 5,000 years ago. He visited the battlefield. Actually, it was probably the biggest war that ever and will ever be. So many, many things were going on, so many battles between persons, so many artillery. It was quite an event. But Krishna was there, peaceful, not disturbed. He came in his original form. Just to speak this knowledge to us. So you can see that when he comes here, he's definitely not affected. And actually, on the battlefield, he was 125 years old and looked like a very nice youth, not affected by the onslaught of the material energy in the form of old age, as we're all experiencing right now. But he also appears within every single atom, with every single person's heart. And you think the battlefield is a difficult place. Well, just think of our hearts. That's also a difficult place to be in. So many different things are going on in each of our hearts, and he's not affected by any of them, but he's very conscious of them. I know that if someone tells me just a tiny drop of gossip during the day, the rest of my day is just upset over it, you know, because we can't handle too much, but he can handle everyone's everything, and not be affected. So he is definitely the most transcendental person. He was the commander in chief on the battlefield. On one side, he was engaged in the politics and things going on in the whole scene of the Mahabharata. But you always see him very transcendental, very composed, dealing with all these things in so many different ways, expert judge of time and circumstance, totally transcendental. So it's very difficult to understand. Here it's described that Lord Brahma can't even understand this transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But here it is mentioned that those who are liberated souls, those who are on this platform of transcendental knowledge, can get a glimpse and understand. Just like Amshuman Prabhu Das here, he's actually at this liberated stage, because it says in Bhagavad Gita that one who understands the nature of the appearance and disappearance of the Lord, he's actually liberated. So we have to get to that platform to really, really understand how transcendental he is. The Six Goswamis, they attained that because of their sincerity in wanting to please the Lord. When we're in a conditioned state, not knowing, you know, our real position as a servant, then we can't get anywhere as far as understanding the Lord. But one who desires, oh, maybe I should surrender this one lifetime, then the knowledge is there. So we're not on this totally peaceful level, but Prabhupada explains why here. He says that it's because of our mind. Manavartena, this is a very interesting vehicle that we have. Now, in the material world, we've got some pretty, you know, souped-up race cars. But think of what we're sitting in. We're sitting in the most dangerous vehicle there is. It's out of control, just like that. It's faster than any other, you know, anything on this planet. And we're subjecting ourselves to it every day. We're sitting in this manartena, and we're being driven around frightfully through the streets of this material world, through all the different planetary systems, different bodies, trying to be entertained in some way. And no Krishna. We're just simply being taken for a ride. And we end up where? We end up at a dead-end street. We have to turn around. We have to go back and go through the whole thing again. Maybe we have a different, you know, different souped-up body, different color, you know, body, different colored body, our car. We have a different model, but and then maybe a little different scenery this next time. But still, we go. We end up in another very dangerous ride, and end up another dead-end turn around again. So this is our problem. The disturbances, the struggle for existence, is there. So this peace of mind is not there till we come to the Goswami stage of actually beginning to control the mind. And it can be achieved, just like it describes here, that one who actually has received the instructions of the Supreme Lord on how to begin to rein in this mind. And of course, Krishna is very anxious to help us in this regard. As we see in this verse, the Lord can take many, many different forms. He can come here. He can come in his two-hand form. What's the problem? He can come and do so many things just with his two hands. He fought the whole battle. He reigned, you know, just with his reins, his two hands holding the reins. He was able to lead the whole victory. So Krishna has many, many forms. We heard on Sunday about the form of the Vedas as being the most instructive literature to help and guide us out of this struggle for existence. And then we're hearing now of the a form. He can take it as Lord Kapila. And Ansuman has recognized him as the Lord, and now is surrendering to him. And then just the other day we heard about Lord Vamandev. Came as a little dwarf and got other people to surrender. So the Lord is not limited, and each one of these forms is equally transcendental. the form on the altars, Shishi Radhashamasundra and Krishna Balaram, Gornitai. This is the Supreme Lord standing right in front of us. And also mentioned here is the holy name. This name has actually been personally brought by Lord Chaitanya. He came here and delivered himself. He demonstrated how it works. He demonstrated the results of this contact through the transcendental sound. And so Krishna is not limited in any way. Great saintly persons, as is described here, and as we have heard about just yesterday about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, great saintly persons have actually come to appreciate and recognize and really realize that the holy name and the Lord are non-different. This is something that we all are seeking in this lifetime to somehow or other have some realization of the Lord in this way. There's a nice prayer here by Bhaktivinoda Thakur describing Srinam, the holy name. This is what his prayer to the holy name. He says, "There's no difference between that holy name of Lord Hari and Lord Hari himself. The Vedic scriptures sing of the true value and glory of the holy name. All the Upanishads are like a necklace of beautifully effulgent jewels shining before the lotus feet of the holy name. They perpetually perform Mangal Artik for the holy name with Artik lamps of 10 giwiks. Within the 14 worlds, those demigods, men and demons, whose fortune is very great, perpetually drink the nectar of the sweet mellows of the holy name, casting aside all kinds of fruitive activities and spectral forms of knowledge. The eternally liberated souls, however, always worship the holy name in beautifully composed hymns and songs and sit in Goloka Vrindavan constantly singing the name. Therefore, they do not know any separation from the holy name. The two syllables Ha and Hari are a mine of all devotional mellows. All the ecstasies of devotion have taken shelter in them. Falling at the lotus feet of the holy name, Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, O Hari Nam, I pray for residence at your lotus feet." So you can see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has firm faith in these simple syllables of Hari and Rama, and we should fall at their feet, at the great saints' feet, and beg that we can also have this firm faith, because it's very difficult to understand that the Lord and the name are the same, or that the Lord, the deity form is actually the same as the Lord. So many offenses we commit while addressing the deities. I was thinking that because I addressed Radhasham today. It's so difficult not to, you know, even mentally, you know, think of other things that are not favorable for devotional service. But there are a class of persons, as mentioned here in this purport, that have a very difficult time and no faith in this, the potency of the holy name or of the different forms of the Lord. And they stay confused. Their minds are fused on this limited conception that they have of the Lord. They've got like blinders fused to the sides of their head, and they can only see what they can understand with their limited senses. And so the Lord, with two arms and two legs, the Lord is great, he's all powerful and everything, but with just two arms and two legs, there's no way that he could do this. He can't be in this form, this simple form. But those with firm faith and conviction, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, full faith that the Lord can do anything in any form. And therefore, when we hear of the Lord jumping, holding hands with his brother, jumping 88 miles down a mountain, smiling the whole way, joking all the way down, we don't have a problem with that. Or swallowing a whole forest fire, gone, not a problem. Or jumping, or lifting Govardhan Hill, two hands, one little dinky little pinky he can do the whole thing with. No problem, because the Lord is the Supreme Lord in every aspect. So the foolish, they can't accept, and therefore they miss out. Let them find somebody better. Papa says, if you can find someone better, someone more qualified to be God, fine. But But why not just accept Krishna? He's doing all these things. He doesn't have to go in a phone booth and change his whole attire and come out, pop out as Superman. He can do it when he's 3 months old. He can do it when he's 6 years old. He doesn't have a problem. So that is our God, and we're very fortunate to have him and to be on the path to learn about him. It's just a matter of becoming purified, and gradually this realization can come. And then we become Krishna's fan club, and we can gather more people into his fan club, and we can glorify him and be very proud of him and worship him like anything and serve him like anything and put his, you know, his face and name all over the planet and try to attract others in that way. And this way we become absorbed in Krishna. We become Krishna conscious. Krishna becomes our only business. The great saintly persons, their only business, just like Haridas Thakur, his only business was to chant the holy name. He might be our role model, or at least a great example of this, but it's not like we're going to be able to imitate him, to sit and chant all day. But we can make, you know, Krishna's temple our business, Krishna's prasadam distribution our business, Krishna's deity worship our business, Krishna's our family life Krishna's business. This is how we can become absorbed and very gradually just kind of step out of this confusion and in disturbing material realm that we're in and begin to step into sacred time and place and become actually joined and link up with Krishna and experience a little bit of peace, a bit of anxiety, promised us that we would become happies if we gave up our hippie mentality. And it's true, the power of the holy name, the power of the Supreme Lord in the form of these instructions, it can begin to destroy and weaken, at least weaken, our attachments to this material world that is very gross. And even it'll take away and weaken those subtle attachments, which make us still have to come back again and again. The holy name is just so powerful, it can do those things. I was talking with a nice couple that had been coming here for about a year or so, and we got to talking about the football Harinam, and they said, you know, we're just beginners, but do you think we could come and just see what it's like to do Harinam? And I said, yeah, come. I said, this is such an experience, you know. You're just so glad you're on this side, not that side. And just to see everybody look so ridiculous, and, you know, I saw people, must have been 92 years old, a lady in a wheelchair with her gator hat, probably never missed one gator game in her whole life. I don't think she could hear, I don't think she could see, but they're wheeling her into the game, you know. I mean, you really have a lot of realizations at these games. Chanting where our consciousness should be and where it's being wasted. But I said, yeah, you should come. I said, you know, these people that, you know, they hear the holy name and you don't believe what happened. And they said, you know what, you won't believe what happened to us, that I used to see the Hare Krishnas chanting and doing this on the street in Harinam, and I thought, it looks kind of funny, it looks kind of weird, but hey, they're pretty brave, dancing and everything. And I said, just see, you heard that name maybe 20 years ago, but now you're sitting here taking prasadam, you're wanting to go on Harinam at the football game. And that's what happens. I said, yep, all those people at the football game, they're finished, they're doomed. Because someday they're going to be sitting taking prasadam here, you know, because that's the power of the holy name. So I said, yes, definitely come. It's an experience. It's a lot of fun to distribute. I always think of Haridas Thakur, you know, Nityananda dragging him door to door, trying to, you know, to go to these demons' doors, houses, and getting, you know, harassed. And Haridas Thakur saying, oh, come on, Nityananda, I'm just an old man. Why are you taking me doing this? You know? But that was Lord Nityananda's instructions, Lord Chaitanya's instructions. Because we have such a great thing, we have to give it to everyone. And the easiest name, the easiest way, of course, is this chanting of the holy name. There's another nice prayer called Jaya Jaya Hari Nam by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, describing the bliss of the holy name. I thought we could hear that. It's a glorification. I'll read a few of them. All glories to the holy name, the abode of immortal, transcendental bliss. The supreme absolute truth who possesses an eternal form has descended in the form of the holy name. He shows mercy to his devotees and shows boundless compassion and kindness to all the fallen souls at the football game. All glories to the supreme personality of Godhead, who is called by different names such as Hari, Krishna, and Rama. He is the auspicious resting place of all living entities within the universe, and he delights the minds of all souls. Great sages, honoring his holy name, constantly sing that holy name, filling their mouths with the sound, like Srila Haridas Thakur. O eternal holy name of Krishna, you possess all powers and bestow auspiciousness upon the living beings. Without you, there is no other friend to deliver us from the ocean of material existence. You have come for the deliverance of all fallen souls. And I think as we're getting older, we find that there is no other shelter now. That this world is very turbulent, even when you get old, still going on, still things, disturbances, reverses in our life, changes in our life. And what's there? The only thing that doesn't change, the only thing that we can really hold on to, and that's the holy name. Everything else can be an upheaval, go through miserable operations like Pasupati, but still, she has the holy name. That's all we really have. And so therefore, we should pray to have some of these realizations. He continues, for all souls within this world, there is much misery and sorrow. Oh, Harinam, if someone calls upon you just one time, feeling himself very meek and lowly, possessing nothing, and seeing no other remedy for his relief, you then easily destroy all his sorrows. If one simply obtains a slight reflection or glimmer of you, then all sorts of terrible miseries disappear. Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, all glories of the holy name of Lord Hari. O Harinam, I perpetually fall at your lotus feet. So this is the attitude we should have when we sit down in our sacred time of the day and chant our japa. This is what we should be thinking, that somehow or other, let me just throw my mind in the closet, lock the key, and just listen and chant the holy names of the Lord. Just this sacred little time in the day, just make it that way. Don't let anyone else in. Don't let your mind bother you. And try to concentrate. Try to absorb yourself in humbly chanting the holy name. And it is a workout. It's not like we're not going to have any opposition. It's always going to be there. But with constant chanting and firm faith and a lot of mercy by these great sages, we will begin to experience the effects of the holy name and we'll become more dependent. We'll realize that that's all I really have. And that this is will put us in whole the supreme state of life. If we can always just go right there to the holy name and take shelter. There's one other prayer I would like to, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur again. This is all in the Gitavali, all celebrating the holy name. And it's called the Son of the Holy Name. And whenever I sing the song, I always think of Haridas Thakur because he was like a son. He rose out of a very mlecha background. And not very well respected, not very well thought of, but he rose out and shone so brightly that he obtained the darshan of Lord Chaitanya every day. Actually, Lord Chaitanya said, I'm coming to you to have your darshan. And he went out of his way every single day after doing this and that. He would go, oh, I have to go see Haridas Thakur. So you can imagine the purification that Haridas Thakur had through this chanting so many times and with such humility. This just describes, if I could find it. The Son of the Holy Name has appeared in the universe to destroy all forms of ignorance, casting aside all worldly things that the saintly become devoted to him alone. The Son of the Holy Name is a remover of the darkness of ignorance. O Harinam, who actually knows your greatness? What sort of learned man is capable of singing all your glories? O holy name, from the very moment you first appear on the horizon of the heart, the darkness of this material world is almost totally devoured. Quickly destroying all remaining darkness, you bestowed divine wisdom upon our spiritually blinded eyes. That divine wisdom gives rise within the heart to pure devotion and an understanding of the transcendental characteristics of Lord Hari. This wonderful pastime of yours is eternal, and Thakur Bhaktivinoda has understood its essence. So this is a pastime, the holy name, Lord Chaitanya bringing it, delivering it, and Bhaktisiddhanta, Saraswati Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur arranging for this whole Namhatan movement and Sankirtan movement to spread all over. This is the greatest benediction we could ever imagine, that it's actually brought lightness to this very, very dark Kali Yuga. And it is our duty to spread it all over. You can see that that Haridas Thakur, especially because this is his disappearance day, that you always hear that quote by Srila Prabhupada, and so it's known, famously known, spread, first deserve, then desire. So what was Haridas Thakur's last desire? That he just wanted to see, when he passed away, he wanted to see Lord Chaitanya's shining face. And he deserved it, and therefore he got his desire fulfilled. Lord Chaitanya came and was and said, "Oh, Haridas Thakur, you know, how's it going?" And Haridas Thakur says, "Oh, everything's going fine. I mean, my material body is, you know, forget that. But he says, I do have a problem getting my rounds done, all how many hundreds of them." But he says that, but he said, you know, but the holy name, he just glorified the holy name. And then Lord Chaitanya started to glorify with wishing he had thousands of tongues glorifying the glories of Haridas Thakur. And at that time, Haridas Thakur passed away, and Lord Chaitanya put his feet, I believe, on his chest and looked into his eyes. So he got what he wanted, and he deserved it, because he was so devoted to chanting his prescribed number. And so we should take note. This is our Namacharya. This is our supreme example of how we should have respect for the holy name, have respect for our spiritual master's instructions, Srila Prabhupada's instructions on chanting 16 rounds, no less, if not more, if possible, and to go on Harinam. This is also Prabhupada's instructions, at least once a week, going out, distributing the holy name, and somehow or other taking shelter of this holy name, giving proper respect to our japa time, not mixing it with other things. I was kind of in a rush the other day, and I started, you know, watering the lawn and chanting my japa. Doesn't work. Come to class, walking around outside, listening to class, chanting japa, doesn't work. Just chanting your japa, that's what works. Just listening to the holy name. This is what you learn, this is what we were taught, and this is what we should do. Because then we'll get the results, and then we'll get some attachment to chanting, because we're getting a taste. So instructions are there, the example is there by Srila Haridas Thakur. He was also, of course, that extreme humble personality. Sometimes it's hard for us to invoke some humility. We somehow or other still think we're supreme in some way. I don't know how, but Maya's supreme hold on us still there. But somehow or other, we will get humility simply by falling down at the feet. Here you hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur is falling down again and again at the end of his prayers. Please, you know, humbling himself, please. Oh, Harinam, oh, saintly persons, oh, Sri Krishna himself, holy name, please, you know, give me some taste, give me some understanding. So, in honor of Haridas Thakur's disappearance day, we might want to fall down at the feet of the holy name, spend a little extra time trying to chant, and realizing that we are right in front of Krishna. He's personally there, as it describes here, that he is there in his name. And we should not be rude to him. We should not be disrespectful. We should give full attention. And and beg that, please, somehow or other in this lifetime, can I get some attraction for chanting your name? And gradually, the grip of Maya will go away, and we'll be peacefully engaged in Krishna service in this lifetime and eternally in the spiritual world with Krishna. So maybe someone has some other things they'd like to comment about Haridas Thakur. I didn't really realize it was his disappearance day till Mangalarti. I wish I had. I would have prepared a little bit more, but I have a picture of Haridas Thakur. It's right in front of me before I take rest, and I can't help but looking at it and relishing that relationship that Lord Chaitanya had with Haridas Thakur. It's pretty amazing. There he is carrying this dead body, and he personally, you know, covered it with sand, and only because of Haridas's respect for the holy name, his appreciation for the holy name, and his attachment to Lord Chaitanya for giving that holy name to him. So maybe someone else has some appreciation for Haridas Thakur. You'd like to contribute so we can meditate on him more today. It's a pretty amazing pastime. Yes. Can't get away from it. Well, Papa gives an example of being in the shower. I mean, we're dirty, but we're in the shower, so you know, you can't complain. You know, we're in the process. So yeah, it comes and goes. At least it doesn't count against us, those bad thoughts. If it manifests, that's another problem. But we immediately should see that. Oh, I recognize it. So now I can divert my attention and chant Hare Krishna, and immediately I would remember. Shamasundar, yes, you're the most beautiful. Look at your beautiful hair. Look at look at your gorgeous consort next to you. So yeah, at least we're in the process. We know how to get out of it, and we recognize it. So we can be very grateful, and do something about it. We know what we can do about it. We just have to stay in that fire. We have to keep chanting, even though when we're chanting, so many things happen. Some days we have a really lousy japa period. And we feel really bad about it. But that means tomorrow I'm going to get in there and I'm going to clean up my act, right? So we know the process. So that's the best thing. Anybody else? I was also thinking of the best part about that pastime of Haridas Thakur is how Lord Chaitanya said, let's make a feast for Haridas Thakur. And everyone got into it. Everyone in the marketplace brought stuff, and it was pretty far out. I'm sure everyone's been to that place on the beach where Haridas Thakur passed away, and it's some pretty ecstatic kirtans have gone on there by ISKCON's grace, and a lot of realizations happen at that place. So if you ever go there, don't mind the little guys in the corner chanting, falling asleep, chanting their Radha, I don't know, some other Krishna, Radha, or something or other. But just go ahead and start up a big kirtan, and it is a pretty amazing place. A lot of shaktis there. and it's pretty much right across the street from our temple. So take advantage and today and beg Hardas Thakur's mercy, fall at his feet, fall at the feet of the holy name, and let's get out of this material world in this lifetime. Jai Hardas Thakur ki, Jai.